a group of about 300 or 400 people that made it happen. And it really does start long before I got involved with the project. The Event Horizon Telescope really is a set of facilities that have been pieced together to make a telescope essentially the size of the Earth. So there are facilities all around the world, in Asia, South America, Antarctic, other places. So it really did need people from all over to come together and cooperate to make this image. The problem is that these black holes on the sky are so small from our perspective that it takes a very big telescope to see them. So the size that we're talking about is roughly equivalent to looking at a DVD, if people still remember what a DVD is these days, sitting on the surface of the moon and seeing that from the Earth. So that's something, that's about the size that we're looking at on the sky. So it really required a big telescope. I came in much later, not part of the telescope on the ground, but to help with coordinate observations, because what makes black holes interesting is that they kind of emit all over the spectrum, all the way from radio to optical to high energy X-rays and gamma rays. So my job has been to help coordinate observations with other satellites using X-rays and gamma rays to observe these objects.
And you're calling it Sagittarius A, right? Is the actual name of it?
Yeah, Sagittarius A star, because the center of our galaxy is lying in the constellation of Sagittarius. It's unfortunately something that we really don't get to see here too much in the northern part of the sky. If anyone gets a chance to go down to South America, Australia, or Africa, especially our summertime, their wintertime, you can see the center of the galaxy, and it really is quite a spectacular sight if you see it from a good dark sky. You see this bulge of stars with dark clouds kind of going across the center of it, and that's very clear if you come from a dark sky to see that. And this black hole is in the center of our galaxy, which really is mostly observable from the south.
Wow. So you can actually at least see where it is with the naked eye.
Because it's such a crowded region, we see there's a bunch of stars in the center, but also between us and the stars, there's a lot of gas and dust. So the gas and dust absorb the light coming from the center. In fact, the Aborigines of Australia actually made constellations not only out of the stars, but out of the dark clouds that kind of go across the center of our galaxy. So you actually have to look in other wavelengths to see the object there. So we can't see it with our eyes and see it in the optical, but very low energy, long wavelength radiation like radio waves can kind of get through that dust, and very short wavelength, high energy radiation like X-rays can get through that dust, which is why we tend to look both in the radio and the X-ray at the same time, because those are the two areas of energy of light that can get through.
We're talking with Professor Michael Novak, who's a research professor at WashU and is a part of a collaborative that has captured an image of the black hole at the center of our galaxy called Sagittarius A. It can go from seemingly quiet to having dramatic outbursts that can last minutes to hours. So, yeah, what are the, and these outbursts show you where it is.
Yeah, and that's how actually one of the ways it was discovered, its location was discovered in a few different ways. One of the ways was in X-rays. A satellite I used to work for called the Chandra X-ray Observatory, and I still use that quite heavily. It's kind of the X-ray version of the Hubble Space Telescope. It gives the best images on the sky in the X-ray, making very precise resolution in terms of its spatial resolution. And so we were able to pinpoint the location in the X-rays. And one of the, because it's a very, very crowded region in the center of our galaxy. There's a lot of things going on there. So to pinpoint the supermassive black hole was actually kind of difficult. And one of the ways that it was seen is that when we looked with the Chandra satellite, about once a day we would see Sagittarius A star kind of burst into a flurry of X-rays. So normally it's actually much quieter than you might expect, because there's a lot of material there that could fall into the black hole. And when the material falls in, it would get very hot and emit X-rays, but that doesn't seem to happen too much with Sagittarius A star. It's actually really not much brighter than our sun, which is bright because we're close, but the sun is actually a relatively normal everyday star. And you have this object that's several million times the mass of the sun, and it's not emitting any more energy than the sun is. Except for about once a day, it bursts out anywhere from 10 times to a few hundred times brighter, and that lasts for a couple of hours. The other way we figured out that the black hole was there, and this was the subject of an award of a Nobel Prize to Reinhard Genzel in Germany and Andrea Goetz, who actually was a classmate of mine at MIT as an undergraduate. She's a professor now at UCLA. They measured the orbits of stars going around the center of our galaxy, and they could tell from the speed and size of the orbits how much mass had to be there. And there was about 4 million times the mass of our sun, but in area no bigger than the orbit of Pluto. And so that's a lot of mass to squeeze into such a small area. So between seeing these stars orbit something that was invisible, more or less in other wavelengths, and the X-rays going off and only lasting for 1,000 seconds or so, that told you that there was a very massive, very small object there, and that's the black hole, Sagittarius A star.
But larger than our sun.
Much larger than our sun. Yeah.
Wow. Let
Yeah.
me ask you this, for me and our audience, then describe what the black hole is, because we can measure it.
Best we understand it is goes back to Einstein's theory of general relativity. A black hole is a region of space-time where there is so much matter in so small an area that it is warping and bending space and time around it. And it's warping and bending space and time around it so much that any light that is within what we call its event horizon cannot escape. And so it within that region, it looks dark. And light nearby can actually orbit around the black hole and be bent by the black hole. So what we're really seeing in these images that we're showing you is not so much the black hole itself, but the region around the black hole where the gravity is so strong that any light that would have been coming towards us is bent out of our line of sight, and some of it is bent back and falls into the black hole. Some of it's just bent away from what we can view, and what we're seeing is kind of this dark shadow. That's actually a little bit bigger than the size of the black hole itself. And then when you get further away from the black hole, the gravity gets a little bit weaker and light can come to us a bit more directly. So we're seeing matter that's falling into the black hole and shining its light towards us. So it gets hotter as it falls towards the black hole.
So this image, is it a photograph? Is it a rendering? What exactly is the image?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. It's not really a photograph. It is kind of a reconstruction of the data. So we are measuring the radio waves coming from that center of the galaxy, and we're measuring their amplitude and we're measuring their phases. So light is a wave, radio is a wave. And so we're measuring the amplitudes and the phases of these waves. And we're kind of piecing these together by using different telescopes in different locations around the Earth to get different angles of viewing on these. And so the phases should line up in a given way based upon the image and based upon where the telescope is. You have to do very precise location and very precise timing of these radio waves as they come in to be able to put them together. And you kind of make an assumption of what the source should look like, and you predict what the signal should be in your telescope. And then you compare these models that you're doing with these assumptions to the actual data that you get. and you kind of tweak the models while looking at the data, and you kind of make it look as close to the data as possible. And we take all sorts of different assumptions. It could be a donut, it could be a straight line, it could be all sorts of different shapes, and we find what fits the best is this kind of donut shape that you see. So it's kind of a combination of our theoretical models directly compared to the data to reconstruct what the image should look like. So it's not really a direct photograph. It's kind of a reconstructed best estimate of what the image really looks like. But we do think it's a very accurate representation of what's going on there.
Washington University's physicist Michael Novak is joining us here on Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri. And 20 years went into this, I think you said. What do we
yeah,
learn?
Well,
yeah. Is it more than 20?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 20 years that we've had a good idea of where Sagittarius A star is and roughly what it is. And actually, maybe a little bit more. So I think the observations that started measuring stars going around Sagittarius A star is about mid-90s or so. The X-ray observations, the first good detections we had were the early 2000s. And that's kind of when the radio project also started. It was kind of like the late 90s and early 2000s. So yeah, it's 20, 25 years of studies of this. So prior to the early 90s, we really didn't have a good idea of what that object was there. And we've been accumulating all this evidence from different means and measures for the past 25 years. And as far as the Event Horizon Telescope itself, the first run, what you're seeing was observations that happened in 2017. And it's really taken 5 years of data analysis to put that together.
Wow. So what do we do with this information? Where do we go from here?
Well, the next big question that we have is how do what we see here in these images connect to the larger scale? Now, since this is a podcast, your audience is not going to see the picture I have up in the background of the Zoom call here, but that's a picture of a radio and X-ray jet coming from the center of a galaxy. So most of these black holes, although they're very small and they're sitting at the center of the galaxy, not only are they swallowing matter, but some portion of that matter is being turned around and emitted as a powerful jet of particles and radiation. And that jet can extend over many hundreds to thousands of light years out of the galaxy. And a lot of that energy then gets fed back into the galactic surroundings. So even though the black hole only affects, in terms of its gravity, material falling very close to it, the material that gets turned around and then sent out back to the galaxy can actually have a profound effect on how galaxies form. You're putting a lot of energy back into the galaxy and clusters of galaxies, and we find that black holes seemingly actually can regulate how galaxies form and how clusters of galaxies behave. And so that's a really unsolved part of our understanding of black holes. We know they affect their surroundings on galactic scales and extragalactic scales through these jets, but we don't know how the jet is really connected to the central object in the black hole. I mean, we know there's the energy there from matter falling in from the gravity, but we don't really understand how that material, some of that material gets turned around and formed into a jet and sent back outward from the galaxy.
We are talking about looking back in time. We are talking about something that, because of the light travel, happened thousands of years ago. Can we even get close enough to learn more about Sagittarius A?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's 24,000 light years away, so it would, going at the speed of light, would take us 24,000 years to get there. I think the fastest we have at this point are the Voyager spacecraft, which have recently left our solar system, and they're going about 1/10,000th the speed of light. So we're talking at best with current technology, something on the order of 240 million years would be the fastest we could get there, the fastest thing that we have ever launched. So we have to really content ourselves with just taking the images of seeing what happened 24,000 years ago as the light comes to us, and trying to make these telescopes a bit more precise and a bit bigger so we can make that connection from what we're seeing on the very small scales to what's happening on the very large scales.
Oh, thank you so much, Professor Novak, for joining us on Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for the great questions.